The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly music spot, and John Cadell, we've given him a week off. He's taken a bit of a hollier, so we're delighted that Dee Reddy has joined with Larissa Nolan tonight for our weekly music spot. And we have so much to talk about, things to look forward to, but also to look back on. Let's start by looking back at Glastonbury, because I know lots of you were watching bits and pieces of it on the television over the weekend. Larissa, what was the standout for you?
Tame Impala, absolutely. I mean, I was just absolutely mesmerised by that show. I've watched it a couple of times since, so it's not even like one of these things you watch once. It's like I keep going back, and it gets better and better every time I watch it. So it's just the light show, the sound effects. The way he's standing there, Kevin Parker standing there in this kind of mist on a square type stage, like a boxing ring almost, totally in the darkness most of the time. These incredible sounds like storms going off and major just technic pyrotechnics type stuff happening. It was really like, you know, he's known for the kind of psychedelia and sort of psychedelic type music, and I think that really matched with what he was playing. You know, I just found it like kind of almost an out-of-body experience even watching it, so I can only imagine what it was like in Glastonbury.
Let's hear a little bit of Borderline. Big Tame Impala fan, but do you actually need to see it rather than just hear it there?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the effect is so much more. I mean, I love listening to them anyway. They're great. He's a great, you know, he's fantastic. It's kind of like, I think their music, like I'm often thinking they're often compared to, he's often compared to a Brian Wilson type figure, which is very apt, but he's also sounds very like Dennis Wilson. And then it's kind of like Daft Punk sort of thrown in there somewhere. I think to watch it is, yeah, you've got to immerse yourself in it. Yeah, you've got to see it. Well, I'll be going to see them again. I did see them a couple of years ago, I think, in Electric Picnic, but I want to see them. I missed the gig last week. So I should have been at that, but I'll catch them or travel to see them again.
What was your highlight of Glastonbury,
Dee? The weekend, well, aside from that fan getting on stage and absolutely smashing it, I think my highlight
from
the scheduled artists that played was Kylie. She played the Legends time slot. And it's just, for me, that kind of sums up Glastonbury when you bring someone in who wouldn't necessarily command a crowd of that size at this stage in their career. And like, I was there for Lionel Richie's one, and I was there for Dolly Parton's one a couple of years ago. And it's really something special to be part of a crowd that big. And she played her full back catalog. Like, she even did I Should Be So Lucky, which is probably something that she hasn't performed an awful lot in the last few years. And she brought Nick Cave on with her.
Wow.
And Chris Martin from Coldplay came on as well. And I think herself and Nick Cave have only performed that song together a handful of times.
That's the Wild Rose song, mm-hmm. Is it that one? Yeah, it was actually a lovely song from her back catalogue.
Gorgeous, yeah. But it was a really, really special thing. And she, of course, was meant to have played Glastonbury, I think in 2005, but she had to pull out because of breast cancer diagnosis that she got around that time. So it was, you could see it in her that it was quite personally a very, very special thing to be doing. Yeah. And the fact that it went so well for her is gorgeous. There's like a clip that's of her coming off stage and going to kind of her gang of mates or whatever backstage that's got since gone viral, and she just looks over the moon. Beautiful.
I don't have any clips of that, unfortunately, but what you do have is a little bit of Alex Mann. Now, Alex Mann ended up on stage with Dave.
This is
so funny. Explain the story.
So basically, Dave kind of he often does it for this particular song, Thiago Silva.
For those who aren't familiar with Dave, just who he is.
He is he's a rapper basically, but he often does it for this particular song where he'll pull somebody out of the crowd, because the pace that he raps at is pretty phenomenal. So to actually be able to keep up with him is something pretty special. And he pulled this kid out of the crowd who is wearing a Thiago Silva t-shirt, who is
I think it was actually a Paris Saint-Germain football jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the Brazilian plays for them.
But he has since tweeted your man. Your man's boss was also on the BBC Facebook page going, come here, this kid called in sick to work on Monday, so we're going to have an interesting conversation with him. Then that went viral as well, because loads of people were saying, please don't fire him, blah, blah, blah. But he absolutely smashed it, Matt.
Let's hear it.
Who is sober enough to sing these lyrics along with me? I see a PSG show over there, but do you know the lyrics? He looks like he knows the lyrics. Yeah, let's take a chance on him. Let's take a chance. He's wearing a Thiago Silva shirt. Let's get him up here.
Let's fucking go.
Look. Santa for the hook for XAG. Man, we stick for the pen like JD. You say I need your drink on, but I got love for brandy like Ray J. Champagne pop off, 44 drop in a black night bomber. Half me stop off, half our MC drop off, 45 rock. I'll leave you in the states like Pat Park. AJ from the look, look, ex-Santan. Man's got style in the rhythm like Gangnam. 2 year brothers trying to eat off of music, but we used to eat off of pens in the sandbags. Now we get money, music money. Money never put a girlfriend in a handbag. White tea, Balenciagas, man, back left. We're with a long sleep like a granddad.
Doing it as well as Dave could do it himself.
Yeah.
Which I think took Dave aback a little bit.
But you know what? It's one of those things, because especially if somebody's at a festival for the weekend, he could have pulled somebody out on stage when you see the video, the crowd is huge. He could have pulled somebody on stage who, as he says at the start of the video, wasn't sober enough to rap alongside him. And you could very easily go viral for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it wasn't
a case
of Bruce Springsteen and Dancing in the Dark when he pulls out Monica from Friends, who's sitting there waiting to be pulled out.
Courtney Cox, yeah.
I think it's real. That's what the beauty of this is.
Yeah, there was loads of people kind of going, is this real? Is this, you know, has this been planned? But according to one WhatsApp group that I'm in, it does seem to be legit. So we'll go
with
that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I allowed to say, I didn't see much of Glastonbury. One thing that I did see, which I really enjoyed despite myself, Miley Cyrus, I thought was great.
I'm going to have to see her because I'm a huge Miley fan. By the way, can I just say, I've backed up all the Glastonbury's and I'm getting through them slowly, because it's like a good book. You don't want to rush it, and you want to get the right time so you can listen to it with the sound up. So I've seen some of them. I haven't seen all of them, but Miley,
I'll tell you what was great about her. I actually endured years of listening to her as Hannah Montana. You know, my girls were of that age and the rest of it, and the voice would go through your head. But I tell you, as an adult, that voice is fantastic for singing all sorts of songs.
And she played a lot of covers.
Country. She did some brilliant covers. Yeah. She did Metallica. She did Led Zeppelin. Mm. She did all sorts of stuff that you wouldn't have expected her to play. And she was brilliant at it.
She did Jolene by Dolly Parton as well, who is her godmother.
And she does that beautifully. I've heard her do that before.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. That's exactly what her voice is suited for. And I think she seems to be kind of embracing that more as she gets older, which is brilliant. Because the other way, you might have the tendency to say, you know, my dad is Billy Ray Cyrus, so I'm going to move
out
away
and
from that
as well.
Yeah, I believe
although
he was
there was
at
a bit of a lip syncing issue there as well.
But she looked great
for him, not her.
But she's kind of embraced that a bit more with that Mark Ronson track that she has relatively recently released.
Nothing breaks like a heart. Isn't that the one that she kind of went?
Nothing
you can always
breaks
hear
like
it.
A heart, yeah.
You know, she has a country voice that you can hear it kind of yodeling into her music anyway. But there was another thing I loved about Miley was I loved what she was wearing. She looked great, and there was a real brilliant aesthetic this year at Glastonbury. Excellent dressers, like Stormzy was wearing this bulletproof vest with a Union Jack on the front of it, and then you had Billie Eilish wearing, you know, what looked like kind of a something covering her mouth with a cross on it, like, you know, to kind of, you know, around issues of free speech type thing. I don't know, I thought everybody looked really cool this year.
One album, Billie Eilish, but she is a phenomenon. Like, everyone was saying she just commanded the stage as well.
Yeah, imagine at that age.
For
she's only 17.
So young.
But talking of commanding the stage, just hear Miley Cyrus. This actually isn't one of the covers that she did. This is her own, Wrecking Ball.
Don't you ever stay, I just walk away, I will always want you.
great thing I thought about Glastonbury as well is the mix of almost nostalgia acts and modern acts and people coming on everything with each other. Let's hear a little bit more of one which I think people really went wild for. This is when Johnny Marr of the Smiths joined the Killers on stage for This Charming Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, guitar hero, Johnny fucking Marr.
So is that proof that you don't need Morrissey?
Well, certainly you can tell that he's a huge fan of his because he's embracing that song like somebody who has listened to it incessantly for his whole life and someone who really, really loves it. I was waiting to see if he did the Morrissey yelp, you know, like in the middle of that song. Like, ah! But yeah, he probably did. But I think, wow, what like Brandon Flowers really, really took that on well and it sounds great.
Of course, it wasn't the only cover he did because he also went with the Pet Shop Boys to do Always On My Mind.
That was a fantastic moment when he came on stage with him. That's Neil Tennant there.
Okay, and another thing we just take from the past, and I suppose not one to necessarily look at, and The Cure, their performance. Let's hear a couple of songs from The Cure's performance on Sunday evening. I'm assuming he wasn't auto-tuned because he still sounds like he's in his 20s there.
He still sounds amazing.
He doesn't look like he's in his 20s, it has to be said.
Well, he always kind of looked like that. That's the funny thing is, I thought I was expecting him to look worse, to be quite honest. And I was sort of amazed going, ooh, he looks fine and he sounds great. But like, as well as that, I found that the songs were really enduring. Like I was thinking to myself, I wonder, you know, how this will go. But then I found myself kind of going, oh, I love that song. I love that song. I love that song. Now, other people didn't. These people seemed to be divided on the Cure performance. I was mad about it, and other people were saying, "Ah, that's why I never really liked them that much." You know,
or a bit samey sounding after a while.
That was kind of what was the critique that I heard as well. But personally, I was going, "Wow, I forgot all these words." And I
think maybe it depends on how you listen to music. Like when they They have a distinct sound, certainly, but their lyrics are just so gorgeous. And like I've seen The Cure perform live before, and what's really lovely when you're at one of their gigs is very often there are people standing near you who are literally mouthing along for 3 hours straight to all the songs.
You're right, it is about the lyrics a lot. And funny enough, that when I think about it now, the division of the people I was talking to about this came from people who are more into melody, people who are maybe more into lyrics. And I'm like you, like I absolutely love lyrics. But no, I thought it was great. Really enjoyed that set.
Dee, what's Taylor Swift's issue with the new owner of her recordings?
So they have a long-standing feud, actually, going back over a few years, and she still has
there's a man called Scooter Braun.
That's right. She still has the publishing rights to her own music, but he has bought the distribution rights, I think.
For nearly $300 million.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of money. But it does seem now that he may have made a mistake, because one thing that you don't want when you have the distribution rights is to have somebody who has the publishing rights of the music who isn't going to agree with you on where that music can be placed and where that music can be used. So she still has to sign off on, like, say, if it was to appear in a McDonald's ad or something like that. So she could make life very, very difficult for him after his $300 million investment.
It's of the company which owned things, so presumably there's other music there, but the key asset is Taylor Swift. Of course, she's had it in a run-in with this guy, Scooter Braun, for a while, because he's the guy who was given the credit for discovering Justin Bieber, apparently. Bieber.
Yeah, and somebody else as well. I can't remember another very high-profile female singer. Both Justin Bieber and her have stood with Scooter Braun in this one. I think this goes back down to Taylor Swift's need for psychodrama. She loves having public feuds. We just saw her end one there with Katy Perry, wasn't it? She was having one. I'm trying to think of how many people.
I was
people...
about to disagree with you, but then I did just remember the Katy Perry thing.
Katy Perry thing just ended, and now she's like, oh, I want another public feud. And I think what Justin Bieber said about it was, you know, very mature, actually, for Justin Bieber. He was like, why are we having these kind of fights on social media, and there's a better place to discuss this.
Yeah, this will end up in the courts.
Well,
but,
absolutely.
But Justin Bieber essentially accused Taylor Swift of bullying Scooter Braun online, which is interesting. So is she being bullied herself, or is she being a cry bully? I can't tell which it is, but she certainly seems to me a very formidable woman who is well able to dish it out. So
yeah, this is a business deal, because she finished her 6th album recording contract with this company that she was happy to get into business with in the first place. And she wanted a better deal from whoever her new publishers are, and she's got that, but she can't get her hold of her old back catalogue of recordings.
Yeah, but
that's business. She
was
able to make hundreds of millions of euro or dollars out of it herself along the
way. Exactly, but would she? This seems to be, you know, it's kind of standard stuff in the music industry, but. It seems to be personal to him, is the thing. Is it like if somebody else owned that company, I don't think that she would have had this kind of complete meltdown that she seems to have had. A tantrum. Oh, I cry every time
I hear
his name.
But she has the Instagram followers and the Twitter followers to get all sympathy on her
side.
She's
not using any evidence, though. She doesn't give us any evidence of bullying. It's just like, oh, he gets people online to say things about me. And you're like, well, that's exactly what you're doing now. So I don't know where this is or what's going on.
Okay, were you at Kaleidoscope?
I was at Kaleidoscope. Yeah.
How was it?
Now, the I want to be nice about Kaleidoscope, right? Because I kind of appreciate what it aims to do. But, you
better
know.
Better explain what it was to people who weren't there. This is actually, and I've known loads of people who were there bringing small children with them.
Yeah. So what I'd say about that is, now, I'm from Blessington, by the way, so I was delighted to see Rusper House, which is an absolutely beautiful venue turned into a festival, and it's really suitable for it as well. But I was there for 2 days of it. I was working on it myself. But on the second, and I could see parents were just bedraggled walking around the place with kids dragging them from one big wheel to the waltzers. It was like volunteering to go to a kids' theme park for 72 hours, pay for the privilege, and also pay extra for all the rides and stuff like that. So, I mean, I had two boys with me for a couple of hours on Sunday afternoon, and we managed to shell out €100 on all the extra exciting things that, and I'm quite frugal. But I mean, when you're talking about €3 for an ice cream cone, you know, €4 for a coffee, and all the rides costing extra, you wouldn't be long with two kids going through that. So I'd imagine there's a lot of people.
Is that different if you were going around with two drunk people, though? Like, I mean, like that's a normal festival experience.
I think if you're doing that, you're going to come back probably after having a great time, not come back going, I need to lie down after looking after my kids for the entire weekend and running them around the place.
I think. Well, I've never been to a festival and not needed to lie down after.
But at least you've had fun.
Yeah.
in the meantime, you haven't just.
I bet you do. You've never dragged your children around with you.
Like, no, I never
have. Trust me, right? I did 3 or 4
my
hours of this.
My sister went and invited me, but I was otherwise.
I think
detained.
A lot of people, it's like, you know, we can still go to festivals. Yeah, we can still be cool, you know, but, you know, actually you're coming home exhausted after spending the equivalent of a short holiday just bringing your kids around a theme park for the weekend. But I mean, look, I'm delighted if people thought it was great. I certainly wouldn't be something I would be volunteering for.
And of course, then this weekend we've got Longitude up in Marley Park, which means I'll be suffering parental anxiety. What are the must see acts at Longitude?
Well, there's Stormzy, who is, it's definitely worth
going
to see.
Somebody,
yeah,
he pulled out, which is interesting.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so somebody pulled out and he came in. And
Chance
I'm sure
the Rapper. Or Chancer the Rapper, because that's the second Dublin gig now that he's cancelled on.
Right. To the disappointment of one of my daughters, it has to be said.
Oh, really? Oh, dear.
Yes.
Well, she should go see Stormzy instead.
There's
Versatile.
She will, yes.
Kneecap, who are an Irish rap duo that our own Muireann O'Connell put me onto, actually. And Vince Staples, they're all worth checking out.
So we picked Kneecap one week. Do you remember for the track of the week? They're the Belfast duo, isn't it? I think they are, and they speak Osqueilge and so on. And then there's also Versatile. So this is all really sort of rap heavy type festival,
which
it?
Is so funny because I remember going to Longitude its first year. Yeah. It was when I was working for Phantom FM, and we were the radio partner. So that is, I mean, none of those artists are artists that would have been regularly played on Phantom.
Let's remind ourselves of Kneecap. This is Amokinocht. You forgot to give me the language warning the last time you played that, and you've done it again to me tonight, Larissa. I said we forgot to give it on a couple of other occasions this evening as well.
Maybe it's in Irish, we'll get away with it. But I love that what they're using there, the House of Pain, isn't it? The sample in the background.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the song is, but it's legendary anyway. No, it sounds great. It's also the other thing about Kneecap is you kind of understand what they're saying, even though I'm not the best at Irish, but whatever way they present it, it's like you can get along with it. I think they're fantastic, and I'm glad to hear they're involved in this kind of high profile thing.
Okay, two members of my production team are keenly looking forward to Westlife this weekend. You're looking up at the sky, Larissa. I wish we had a camera on you for that.
I'm like, where are these people? Like, who is actually looking forward to Westlife?
Two members of my production team are.
I think they have. Well, I mean, you know, they go down in Irish history as one of the worst bands that we've ever produced.
Westlife, no Brian McFadden with them this time.
Obviously, Boyzone as well.
Is that a plus or a minus?
I'd say it's a plus, but it depends.
Well,
you know.
He could actually sing, though. That was the one thing, was he could actually sing.
He wasn't in the band for other reasons, anyway.
Yeah. All these endless covers and, you know, same suits. And, oh, God, dismal, absolutely dismal Irish music.
Wouldn't be for me, now.
No, not for you either.
No.
They,
I mean, like, we have it here, though. I mean, they played a record-breaking 13 nights in The Point back in 2002.
There's two sellouts for Croke Park, isn't it? And these are genuine sellouts.
So they're not like the Spice Girls, as in like only...
But the Spice Girls was great to and they danced around. Like, are they going to not half sit on stools for the night? Because that's what is going to happen.
Well, I play a little bit of Westlife, though, for the members of my production team who do love Westlife.
Sure this, yeah.
When you look like that... And a catsuit and bent knee high. Everybody was staring, wouldn't believe that this girl was mine. I should have known I wasn't wrong when I left the for a life it did. But they say you never miss the water until it's gone. Yeah, guess I feel too. Is that the High School Musical?
No, that's
it sounds like they're trying to do something from High School Musical, doesn't it? They sound quasi-American.
To be fair to them, Matt, I think that predated High School Musical.
It does sound also like that One Direction track as well, you know, Because You're Looking So Beautiful or something. They all basically sound the same to me anyway. I just don't know how they can live with themselves. You know, like, would you not
collecting the checks. Right. I don't think they have any difficulty whatsoever, Larissa.
But because, I'll tell you, no amount of money in the world would be worth my name being attached to that absolute tripe. Personally, I couldn't sleep at night if I was actually providing that and putting it into the ether and saying, this is Irish music today. No.
Oh, I'm told they're not quite sellouts. There are tickets still available, but you won't be taking up any of those tickets anyway.
I don't think we're going to be offered any free ones on the basis of this chat either.
Dee, what's your pick of the week, please?
My pick of the week is For Those I Love is the album, and the track is I Have a Love by Paul Curran.
I have a love, and it never fades. From red garden sheds to watching lads on steads knocking heads. From the 2x2 fuck you punk stage to a warehouse rave with a bloke we met on the way dancing till day. I have a love, and it never fades. Full of plights and gripes like Achilles who loves fights. Like you did, right? Like we did twice. I love you beyond life. I have a love, and it never fades. You are God's son across the belly, remembered by pictures on your telly. Your body laying in its glow, surrounded by those you know, crying for your words and your soul. And that final loss of your glimmer of hope that we heard in time that you spoke and choked up rooms and blocks and venues and lads and moths with words that spoke soft of those lost.
Okay, I'm nearly out of time. Very interesting spoken word and rap tonight. I'm not going to get a chance to play your pick, unfortunately. What is it, Larissa?
Well, we might get to play it next week. Who knows? It's by the brilliant State Lights, who's fronted by Shobzy. And if we can listen to it at some point, you hear his beautiful soaring vocal in their new track called Open Your Arms.
Do you know what? We'll try and make sure we do that next week. We don't have time for it now. Thank you very much, Larissa Nolan and Dee Reddy, for being with us this evening here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.